Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, May 4th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 35, the second paragraph. Our first example is a friend we shall call Jim through one paragraph ending, he came into contact with us, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Nancy C., 12 Traditions, Susan G. Readers of the text, Eileen M., Penny L. C., and Felicia S. The reference number for Sunday, May 3rd, is 23,425. That's 23425. And for this morning, Monday, May 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,427. That's 23427. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Ann SCH, and Shelley E. will be doing the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Nancy C. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Nancy C. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. And I'll now ask Susan G. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Hi, everybody. Susan G. in Tennessee. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are, 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 35, that second paragraph. Our first example is a friend we shall call Jim. Through one paragraph ending, he came into contact with us, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Eileen M. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Okay, our first example is a friend we shall call Jim. This man has a charming wife and family. He inherited a lucrative automobile agency. He had a commendable World War record. He is a good salesman. Everybody likes him. He is an intelligent man, normal so far as we can see, except for a nervous disposition. He did no drinking until he was... He became so violent when intoxicated that he had to be committed. On leaving the asylum, he came into contact with... Jim looks really good on the outside, right? I mean, he looks good on paper, and people probably wondered what was his problem, you know? So interesting, that term, nervous disposition. You know, no one talks like that today. It's very archaic. However, in the 30s, a nervous disposition referred to being easily agitated or distressed. And that reminds me of restless, irritable discontent, you know, that's talked about in the doctor's opinion. And, his problem is not alcohol. You know, his problem is that he cannot manage his life on his own power. And so his solution to that is drinking, you know, just like my solution used to be compulsive eating. One of my symptoms when life was not going my way, it used to be restriction. You know, I used to skip meals and undereat and fast. And, wow, you know, come to think of it, in fact, I got a real high off of that, doing that behavior. I came to these meetings and I learned I have a disease that I cannot solve by willpower. You know, it's not solvable that way. And I also learned that, you know, overeating, undereating, it was a symptom of the problem of not being able to manage my life. And, I was thinking about in those days, you know, people got committed to asylums for insanity. And I mean, they did not, you know, many of them did not leave. They did not get to leave. But here's Jim. I mean, Jim is fortunate to leave the asylum. And not only that, but he comes in contact with Bill Wilson. And Bill Wilson has, you know, at the time, has a remedy for his problem. And, you know, based on his own experience, Bill has got a proven workable method to offer Jim if he wants to recover. And, you know, I'm so grateful because as a result of the 12 steps, you know, in the spiritual awakening, is we get the power to manage our life so we don't have to go, we don't have to pick up food, we don't have to pick up alcohol, whatever our drug is. You know, it's just so amazing to me. You know, I came to Vision 10 years ago, and I've been in OA since the 80s, and I never knew that unmanageability was the problem. I never knew that. I always thought food was the problem. You know, I just like food too much. That's my problem, you know. And anyway, so I'm very grateful, and I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Eileen M., for your service. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would also like to share on this paragraph. Just as Eileen did so beautifully, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Laura W.
Tamika.
Laura
Tamika
W.
from California.
Who was it from California?
Regina.
From California, it's Tamika D. Thank you.
Tamika? Okay. Tamika
Regina V.
And I got Christina J. Christina J. And who is that other voice?
Regina V. from California.
Regina V. from California.
Larry G.
Larry G. And Jeannie.
From New Jersey.
From New Jersey. And what's your initial, Jeannie?
N for Nancy.
Perfect. Okay, let me tell you who I have, just so I can pick up anyone I missed. Laura W., Tamika D., Christina J., Regina V., Larry G., Jeannie N. Who did I miss?
Teresa C.
Wendy M. And let's go ahead and stop there if we could, please. And I think I heard Deborah G. as well.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. That's a fantastic lineup. All right. Well, we're going to start with Laura W., followed by Tamika D. Go ahead, Laura. Please share with us.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey, and it is so good to be on this meeting live. For some reason, my cell phone carrier doesn't let me call in live anymore, so I am on a landline. So this paragraph to me, you know, a nervous disposition, I have that underlined as well. And this reminds me that, you know, from Park Avenue to Park Bench, this disease does not discriminate. You know, he's an intelligent man. He's not a gutter drunk. He's not homeless. He's got a wonderful a job, a business that he owns, a World War record, family man, but this nervous disposition. And I sure have and had a nervous disposition. And for me, what that reminds me of is that that restless irritability and discontentment, like what was shared, you know, just being sober and not in recovery, just being abstinent but not recovered. And that used to make me so nervous. And for me, it's called anxiousness. It's called anxiety. It's, you know, he did no drinking till he was 35. It doesn't matter. For me, I've been recovered for many, many years, but I know, it's not that I'm not confident in my recovery, but I do know that if I chose to restrict my food and binge, purge, you know, purge through exercise, I could be right back to where I was 25 years ago in a heartbeat, you know, but like by tomorrow. And it's not that I don't have a strong recovery. It's just that my disease is it's there. It doesn't, like, go away. And it's the mental twist of it all. All action is born in thought. As soon as that thought pops up for me, which sometimes it does, and it's not necessarily about the food, it's more about a behavior, or it's more about like a character defect, like resentment and anger and selfishness. And when those come up, if I don't do something with it, it's going to eat me away from the inside out. And you know, this just reminds me that I always have to be not necessarily on guard, but I always have to be aware of who I am and whose I am. You know, I belong to my higher power, and whatever you want to call your higher power, you call your higher power, but it just can't be you. And so that's all I have today. I'm just grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Ah, thank you, Laura W. from New Jersey. Tamika D., it's your turn, followed by Christina J.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your service. Thank you to the reader and all of you who keep this meeting going for us, giving me a place to go to with this disease of compulsive overeating. That reading definitely reminded me of myself. First thing that stood out is the idea that this guy is quite successful. He has a beautiful family. He has all the things. However, the disease is its own entity and does not care about any of that stuff. So the reason it reminded me of myself is because I thought that once I had those things, life would be grand. But the fact of the matter is, without recovering this program, all of those things are torn down. I'm not able to show up for them in a way that is fulfilling for me or the people around me. And then I begin to sabotage those things. So that was pretty interesting. And then the awkward disposition or strange take or whatever that statement was, that reminds me of how that has shown up in my life as a compulsive overeater. The bottom line is I felt very unsafe in my body due to trauma, untreated childhood trauma. I felt extremely unsafe in my body. So there was a combination, you know, the effects. It's noted in the big book that we eat because of the effects that the alcohol, for me, flour and sugar brings. Well, the effect has, in fact, been threefold. First, I've had the illusion of protection by excess food, creating excess weight on my body with the food, with the thought that this will protect me. People won't mess with me if I have this shield around me. That's been an illusion, a bit of a delusion. But then there's that physical response to the flour sugar. I literally get high. It has been my alcohol. It's been my crack for years. So it's this leg of 12 food recovery has been pretty amazing for me. It's like a deep dive. It's a whole nother experience. I've been in the rooms for 30 years, in and out of the rooms. I've lost 100 pounds. I've lost count 10-plus times in and out of the rooms. But the degree that we explore the step work and the visions group is pretty amazing. It's lovely. I'm really happy and grateful that my sponsor introduced me to this meeting and that my higher power introduced me to my sponsor. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, guys.
Ah, thank you so much, Tamika D. from California. Christina J., it's your turn, followed by Regina V.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in Washington State. I'm powerless over food, and my mind is unmanageable. Yes, my life is unmanageable, but it's my mind, the twist of the mind. Takes me into so many places, I run off with the thoughts, and pretty soon I'm in hell, and then in that hell, I want comfort. So I've reached for the food all of my life to numb me out, and it's taken me to a deeper hell of physical pain and discomfort. But I was always anxious, as other people have shared, very nervous, came into a very traumatic, dramatic, unhealthy house when I was born. And I was nervous all the time. Around every corner could be a mean person or someone attacking someone else. It was very unhealthy. So I'm nervous in my cells, and food was always the comfort. I'm glad I didn't drink. I didn't need to drink. I'm very sensitive. Food did it for me. I had a stepfather that was very violent, and I won't go into the details, but it was pretty bad. And he eventually put a gun in his mouth because he didn't have program. But, you know, when we get drunk on food or alcohol, sometimes people get violent because there's pain inside of them that feels free to come up. I never got violent, but I got emotionally distant. I couldn't help it. And I wasn't there for my husband many times. This guy has a lot of pressure on him. This is what I see. He has an automobile agency inherited. He, you know, has all this stuff. He's a good salesman. Everybody likes him. He has to stand up for all this stuff. And he's nervous. Now, I don't know why he was nervous. I can't get into his psychological analysis, but it's a lot of pressure. He's got a good family. He's probably taking care of him. So drinking is sort of maybe this thing that helps, you know, relieve him. Of course, we know what this is all about. But this actually, this paragraph hurts me because I remember how I was and how I used food for so many years. And it was very painful to be in these anxious positions. Now I have program. And I have a lot of other resources I'm working with to get me away from powerless over my mind. I'm learning how to move away from those thoughts that take me down into rabbit holes, any kind of thought. You know, I can be off and running with nervousness about how someone looked at me, and I don't have to go to the food anymore. I've got this power that lives within me I can turn to, and it's become so precious for me. And this book took me to that. It took me to that. So wherever you are, get on this road and get trudging, because even though it doesn't feel like you're going to get anything for a while for a lot of people, pretty soon you begin to sink down into that precious place where you connect with that personal relationship within yourself and begin the real journey, the real journey to unleash who you really are and walk with that precious presence.
Time.
In all of your activities in life. Anyway, I'm rambling on. Thank you for letting me share. I look forward to the other share as I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from Washington. Regina B., it's your turn, followed by Larry G.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Regina V. from California, and thank you so much, Dawn, and everybody else that shared, and everybody else that's on this meeting. I always have had fear, you know, and, you know, I went to a retreat this weekend, and one of the things I wrote is that I don't want to visit my mother because I'm scared of her, and I'm 57 years old, but my mom is scary, you know, she's, you don't know if she's going to scream at you or if she's going to be loving, you know, so I'm always walking on eggshells. And that's been my whole life since I was a little girl. My mom's trauma was so severe that, you know, when she had 11 kids, she just raged. And she still rages. She only has one daughter that lives with her and her nephew and my brother, her son. And that's it. But it's trauma that she hasn't resolved, that she's never been to program, and, you know, so I, you know, over the weekend, I went to this retreat, and I had just finished my 12th step in OA, and my sponsor suggested that I don't go to this retreat, because it wasn't OA, it was a different 12-step program, and I dove into the sugar on Saturday, just dove into it. And, you know, I didn't even think about God. I didn't even think about praying. My body just took me to the, to the place where all the snacks were, all the sugary snacks were. And the person that was in charge of that room was an OA. He really was. But he was able to abstain, not me. And now it's like, okay, God, you know, I'm back in the mainland. I'm back in Los Angeles. Help me to get back on the horse, you know, because that other way of life is not what I want. And so I jumped onto this meeting, and I'm going to go to another one in the evening. and just start working my program again. Because, yeah, I took a left turn, but I don't want that life, you know. I don't want it. And so I'm really grateful that I'm here and that I'm sharing, because I really needed to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Regina V. from California. Larry G., it's your turn, followed by Jeannie N.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Larry G. from California. Yes, and I am Jim. And I was Jim this Saturday. And I'm not coming up in 6 years of entire abstinence from my alcoholic foods. I decided to reset my abstinence as well as a result of what happened Saturday. I did not have any flour sugar. What I did do is I ate extra food. And like Jim, it sounded like a good idea, you know, to have more food. And what ended up happening is that for the first time in 6 years, I went to a food coma. I was an asshole to my wife. I fought with her in front of my daughter, my youngest daughter. And my youngest daughter was traumatized because of the way her father and her mother behaved. My former wife and I behaved, untreated alcoholic, untreated Al-Anon. And I did that in front of her. And I was hungover from the food. And I did a 10-step the next morning with a person I respect that's recovered. And I told the truth of myself. And it became clear in that 10-step that something's going to have to change here. And I deferred this person. I said, I will do anything you tell me to do. And I decided it was a decision to reset my sobriety date. And I tell you, I'm in grief about that. That date, that May 18th, 2020, is sacred to me. It's sacred to me. That's when I came to a vision for you. But we've been talking last week about this more in alcoholism. And if I don't do this, like Laura W. is talking about, she's a restrictor. I'm an overeater. I'm going to die from this. And it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. It's fucking all or nothing, Larry. You either are in relapse, you're not. And I'm in relapse right now. Well, eating on my food plan again. And I'm in grief about this. But you know what? It's just a number. I didn't bring God with me in that party on Saturday. Did not bring God with me. One more time, I thought, you know, go ahead, Larry. Have some extra food. It's okay. You go to 5 meetings a week. You're sponsored. You do a food plan. You reach out to new people. What's the big deal here? Just like Jim saying, you know, what's the big deal? Have a little whiskey in your milk. You just had an extra sandwich. Your stomach's full. What's wrong? You can do this. And one more time, Jim and I are pounding on the bar. And I said, when I came in this program in May of 2020, I swear to God to you, the surrender was so complete at that time. And I promised God that I would do anything that was necessary to stay absent this time, including being teachable. And with God and my sponsor, help my sponsor, I'm just staying in my absent state. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry G. from California. Jeannie N., it's your turn to share, followed by Teresa C. Star 1, Jeannie.
Hello.
Yep. Go ahead. Share
I
with
have
us.
A nurse. I was muted. I have a nurse in here. Can you come back to me?
I will come back to you.
Thank you.
All right, Teresa C. Please share with us. Followed by Wendy M.
Good morning, everyone. This is Teresa C. from New Jersey. Just what struck me was I love the way that Bill writes. I love his phrasing and the words he uses. And I know Eileen talked about, looking up nervous disposition. And that really just speaks to me. That's something I want to carry with me, just to make a connection for me when I'm, you know, constantly trying to remember who I am and what causes my desire to go to the food, my nervous disposition. The other thing was a mention from the other speaker about bringing God with me where I go. That just really speaks to me. I was at an event and did not partake of the desserts that were there. But I was looking at them and I thought, and what's ironic is that it was a church meeting. So a place where God, especially God, is there already. Well, God is everywhere, but you know what I'm saying. It was just ironic that it was at the church meeting, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I really need to bring God with me there, too. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Excuse me. Thank you so much, Teresa.
Hi,
from New Jersey. And we'll go ahead and take Jeannie N. from New Jersey now. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Hi, everybody. Yeah. When I think about this Jim, how intelligent he was and talented in so many ways, so many things. The disease is so progressive and it moves so much faster than we do. I don't know if I said that right, but I think most of you understand what I'm trying to say. I just came back from relapse. I'm about 2 weeks abstinent, and I'm so grateful. When I think of him, it's just so easy to happen. He owned a very successful car dealership, and the fact that he was very nervous, that I really can identify with that, and I just never connected it. And, you know, that was his spiritual malady and that restless, irritable, and discontent. God helps me before my relapse. It's like he's holding my hand, you know. He was holding my hand telling me when it's on, like when it would start. And that would be the start of the battle of nervousness and men picking up for me. He didn't drink till he was 35. Well, I was eating from when I was a little girl. I think that's all. I think everybody said everything, and I want to thank everybody for all their sharing. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much, GN from New Jersey. Wendy M., it's your turn to share. And before Wendy shares, I'm just going to give a quick reminder here. We're talking about page 35 today, the second paragraph. Our first example is a friend we shall call Jim through one paragraph ending. He came into contact with us, and we're commenting on that one paragraph today. So Wendy M., please share with us, followed by Deborah G.
Yes, good morning, Don. Thank you so much for your service. Always good to hear you on the line. These shares are phenomenal. I love this chapter, more about alcoholism, more about lying, more about thinking, more about minimizing, more about justifying, right? So we have most of this paragraph is this man is phenomenal, right? So successful. And then I love the minimizing because that's how my brain works when my disease is active, when I'm not going to God, when I'm not doing my 10 steps, not my 11 steps, not my morning meditation on my knees. When I don't do that, I have a nervous disposition, right? And it's just so, I love the minimizing here. And I love Jim. Jim is my favorite person, I think, in the book, I have to say, you know, because we're going to learn soon, you know, that he puts whiskey in the milk and justifies it because it's just a glass of milk. It's like me putting something in the salad bowl that isn't my business to put in the salad bowl, but because it's in a bowl called salad, I can have it, right? Or ice cream in the coffee and calling it cream. I mean, the list goes on, right? So I lie to get the hit. That's what we do as addicts. And this whole chapter is what is my thinking, right? What is it I'm thinking? What is it I'm minimizing? What is it I'm lying about to get the hit? I must lie to get the hit. So the reason I'm going to be restless, irritable, and discontented, and thank you, Eileen, for your opening. Yeah, I'm going to get restless, irritable, and discontent because I'm out of alignment with my creator. How do I get in alignment with my creator? I tell the truth. The program is not about being good. Oftentimes when people tell me they're in relapse, I'll say, where is it that you are saying to God, and you can't make me? Where is it that you're saying to God something like, this isn't going well, this isn't going my way, I don't trust you? You know, we want to get well, and getting well is telling the truth, right? And I can sound like I know this big book backwards and forwards. I can sound good, but if you guys saw me, if you actually had a camera placed in my home, you would see that I too can be violent. I too can be restless, irritable, and discontented. I can be out of alignment with my maker and be a woman that God does not want me to be, right? I can be a blackout, drunk rager. I just can. When I am not doing steps 10, 11, 12, sponsoring people, you know, I'm out of alignment with my maker. And the brilliant thing about the program is that it offers us a relationship with our maker. And it is the best feeling in the world. Being useful is the best feeling in the world. You know, we're cleaning our when we're doing a 10 step, which is what Jim stopped doing 10 steps. Jim stopped doing his 11 step, right? It's not enough for me to put the food down, right? I need a spiritual experience. I need to be useful to you all. I need to clean out my soul. Yesterday I did an 11 step. It felt so good because I could see where I was out of alignment, where I was, you know, resenting somebody. And it was because I was full of my own fear. I was full of self-reliance. And that's time. Thank you so much, Don. Have a good day.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. Deborah G., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Juan, for your service. I appreciate you and everyone. I appreciate that's making this meeting possible and all the shares, 12-step in me. And welcome, welcome to any newcomers. I'm so glad you're with us today. And, you know, I can remember years and years ago where I felt the insanity, the thinking of what was going on in my head. And at this time, I wasn't even thinking about the food. It was more of the alcohol, but the insanity of doing things over and over, just that doing things over and over again and not seeing the truth and having no power, not seeing that. I drove down to the state hospital here, and I'm in Arizona, Phoenix, and drove up to the guard station and asked to be admitted, check in. I want to check in. At the time, they wouldn't take me because I didn't have any paperwork. You got to be referred in. And so I just left and went off and started doing, again, the insanity and the thinking and everything. And, yes, that restless, irritable, discontented feeling, you know, I can still feel that. And that is, like I heard, thank you all for 12-stepping me. It's because I'm disconnected. I'm out of alignment. And also, I love what was shared about, I have no power. And I'm trying to manage something, I'm trying to manage my life, and I can't. Only partnership with me and that power can. And I'm going to, I had some medical things come up and some feelings with my food and having to gain weight and not knowing what to do. And but I just did the work, the steps, you know, staying in doing 10 steps, staying in doing my prayer and meditation. You know, even if I didn't feel connected with my thinking, I still do the action, working with others, sponsoring, doing step work with people, outreach. And it, I think it's like when I have that experience of doing that work, it guides me through. You know, now I feel so much better. I love my food plan. I have an appetite for my food plan, and I'm eating it. And, you know, and also having loving, supportive sponsorship, that really helps a lot too. talking about, being honest what's going on and talking to my sponsor, talking to other people, you know, getting feedback from other people and, yeah, just getting the guidance. And, you know, that's the beauty of this program, and I'm grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G., for sharing with us from Arizona. Well, we're talking about page 35, the second paragraph. Our first example is a friend, we shall call him Jim. Through one paragraph ending, he came into contact with us. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Gloria.
I heard Gloria. And who is from Oregon?
Julie B.
Julie B.
Ginger M. Ginger M. in New York.
Okay, and then I heard Paul R. We're only able to take those three names. So I have Gloria, Julie B., and Paul R., and I apologize to everyone else. Please come back tomorrow. We'd love to have you share. But Gloria, if you could please share with us, followed by Julie E., then Paul R. Go ahead, Gloria.
Thank you. I don't know why I said Gloria G. It's Gloria H., okay? G., I don't know where that came from. But anyways, Gloria H. from Charlotte, North Carolina. And when I was listening, I said, when I was reading, you know, I always get an abstract way of interpretation. But it reminded me of the insanity. And it says cunning, baffling, and powerful. And only God has the power. And God will, and if he was sought, would remove the insanity. And I have to remember that all the time. Yes, there is a disease. Yes, my behavior is like off kilter many a times. But if I want to change, I have to go to God. You know, when people say they don't want to talk about God, I say to myself, but it's in the big book. It's mentioned so many times. So I'm only following the directions. I'm following the yellow brick road. And so also when Jim said that he was an intelligent person and, you know, yes, I got a good education, you know, and I have a master's. That's so what? You know, the behavior and the actions and the meanness and the vile behavior, you know, and it's just because, oh, it's for humor, you know, like sometimes that humor, I say, oh, I was just being funny. No, it wasn't funny. It may have been hurtful, you know, and those are the things that I consider at my level of the insanity of the behavior. And of the, and he talked about, I forgot the words, I read the chapter though, I mean, I read that paragraph, but when they talked about just that whole thing about, I forgot what the word they used, but to me, I paraphrase it, it's a behavior that is, people can see it, but I can't see it. Other people can recognize it, other people can bring it to my attention, but I don't recognize that I am treating people in a very harsh way, you know, and being judgmental and all of those different little character defects that I can't put my finger on, but other people can. But, you know, because I have a program and I have a realization that in the end, I can say at the end of the day, what did I do that wasn't acceptable? How was I, did I hurt someone? Did anything happen that, you know, that 10-step prayer? I know I'm rambling on because I was listening to everybody else and I was waiting my turn. I forgot all my words, but they'll come back to me in the third day, 3 days from now, when I can share again. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And thank you for putting up with me, and I pass.
Oh, thank you, Gloria H. from North Carolina. Julie B., it's your turn, followed by Paul R.
Hi, thank you so much, Dawn, and thank you, everybody, for your service and your sharing. I'm Julie B. from Oregon. Compulsive overeater, sugar addict, and I think we can all relate to Jim of just feeling like something's just a little bit off about us. You know, we all got a touch of something. We may not be batshit crazy, but we all got something going on. And for me, it has always been chronically driven to overachieve. In a perfectionistic, really self-centered way of I have to be the smartest person in the room. My front yard has to look nicer than everybody else's. If I do something and make a mistake, I have to do it over and over again until I get it right. I'm just kind of obsessed with, or I have been obsessed with, being first, being best, and wow, that's a very hard character defect to live with, because you can't reach perfection. You always fall short, so you're never good enough. And my higher power reaches out to me with wisdom and love. Those are the two things that I receive from my higher power on a daily basis. And I have to thank all of you, because my sponsor and all of you who share in this meeting reach out to each other with wisdom and love, and that's so that we can finally get to the point where we're okay, you know, we're good enough, we're doing our best, we're just trying to get well. And I just feel goosebumps right now thinking about how much love I have felt from all of you and how much wisdom I've received from your shares. So thank you very much, everyone. Have a great day, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B. from Oregon. Paul R., it's your turn to share.
Good morning. Good morning, Don and everyone. This is Paul R., recovered compulsive overeater, and just really blessed to be in this meeting today. And thanks for everyone for their share. You know, being in the book is just really covers all the triangle for me, like, which is, you know, spiritual, physical, and the mental. I'm just getting thrust up here. But, you know, what I really need to watch out throughout the day, if I went through the steps, that I really have to watch out for these feelings and emotions and thinking about, like, you know, what is really going on with Paul? Because once I'm gone from the meeting, the rest of the day, it's on me. And I really needed to learn. And it took like 2.5 years to learn how to really inventory myself, you know, like, and not staying in anger, not staying in resentment, not staying in selfishness, self-centeredness, not staying in you know, any of these negative emotions that is just the characteristics of my old version, of the version of who I'm not, of the version of that this book is enabled me to see that that's not who I am. It's just something I have, and that's just the past. And now I'm able to like I'm able to have and create a new version of myself that it can be a loving, a kind, and it can be just able to live in the present moment. It says in 86, like, it's just, that's just, it's 24 hours a day. It's not about yesterday, it's not about them. And I'm catching up myself about yesterday or tomorrow. I'm in the wrong place. God doesn't care about my past nor my future. He wants me to learn how to devote myself to live now, right now. And then when I walk out from the door, not thinking about what I'm going to do like tomorrow or what I'm going to do next week. And, you know, there is like planning, planning for like furthermore, but not destructive. And this is when it comes in really the 10 step, really how to learn, how to get back to this natural, safe and protected environment when I'm just not fighting anything or anyone. Because, like, my goal is today to cease fighting everything and everyone, because that's like, that's all it's about. That's when I'm reconnected to God. Because when the fight starts again, that's when I need to do the work again. And thank you for allowing me to share with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Paul R. from California, and to everyone who shared, making this just a very powerful meeting. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You, Our Book is Meant to Be Suggestive Only, Keep You Until Then?
Yes, Dawn, this is Penny L.C., Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.